We, last Sunday night, I don't want to keep you terribly long because I do want you to write your questions down if you have any, but I was asked last week when I made this statement, Lucifer the devil is a real person. The devil's not just an influence or an idea or an abstract design, but he is a real person. And somebody asked me, is Satan really a real person? So I'm going to ask you, is Satan a real person or is he a spirit? Pardon? Okay, does that make him a real person or a real spirit? Okay, somebody says spirit. Can he be a real person and a real spirit at the same time? Guys, for the answer, man. I mean, I'm trying to give you the rest of the information. This one, you got to get to me. Good question. As I was trying to wrap my head around this, because it is. I really had to think about that for a while. The Bible says that God is a spirit. But when we get to heaven, are we just going to see a spirit or are we going to see a physical being? You see the Holy Spirit. When we get to heaven, is there going to be a third person there or just one? Two? Father? Son? And the Holy Ghost. So are we going to see that third person? Or is he just a spirit? Come on. Can there be a spirit and a person? Have you ever used this phrase? That person's spirit just chaps my hide. Or that person's spirit just blesses me so much. I look like I'm looking to a bunch of deer in the headlights or something. Brother Larry. We won't, but is God just going to banish him when we get there? Is he going to cease to exist when we get there? Is the Trinity going to no longer exist when we get there? Brother Larry?
Also,
So are you a person or are you a spirit? Or both? When we get to heaven, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are three different offices that we need here specifically. But they will not no longer just vanish or exist or go away when we get to heaven. They're still going to be there, just like all the angels. They're going to have to step back and listen to the same redemption song, but they're not going to be eliminated just because we get there. That makes sense? And we'll give you an illustration that the Bible specifically uses in connection with the Holy Ghost and Satan himself. He puts Satan in the form of a serpent and the Holy Ghost in the form of a dove. The devil is the personification of evil itself. When we get to heaven, we will see the Trinity. Okay? Hey, I've argued with the oneness long enough to know there'll be a Trinity. Understand how I said that? So, when we get to heaven, how many agrees we'll see the Trinity? How many don't think we will? We'll just be floating around. Okay, if we do get to heaven and we see the Trinity, if you go to hell, will you see the devil? Afraid so. So, actually, that's one of those questions that is really not worth spending a lot of theological time on, but it is kind of interesting. Although the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is going around like a little kitty cat, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. No, like a roaring lion. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 12, and listen closely. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We don't. But against principalities, against powers, and the rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I want you to know, about 7 or 8 years ago now, somewhere in that area, I had dealt with some evil forces that had come to my house, and we prayed with everything that was within us. I may not have visually seen Satan, but I want you to know he was there. There's not a doubt in my mind. And when I opened my front door and I told him and commanded him to get out of my house, when he left, I felt every hair on my body stand on ends. I kid you not. I have never in my life experienced such an evil spirit when it left. Never. He is a person because he can camouflage himself as an angel of light. He is the prince and the power of this air. Okay? But you and I have power over the devil. He can't stay in your house. As a child of God, bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and I'll get in a little bit more in detail on this, he cannot overtake you. He may suppress you, he may confuse you, but he cannot possess you. Okay? That's why it's so vitally important that moms and dads, grandma and grandpa, you plead the blood over your kids and yourself. Till your kids get old enough that they know how to plead the blood themselves. Okay? So, that being said, where do we recognize demon powers? I'm going to go into where we recognize demon powers. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11 says, if you forgive anyone, I also forgive him. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan may not outwit us. For we are not unaware of his schemes. As a child of God, we must earnestly seek God that we discern whether he is coming as an angel of light or he is coming in some other form or fashion. But we keep ourselves clear in forgiving one another, in living in peace with one another, that Christ has forgiven us. And when we do that, listen, I got to drive this home. If I don't get anywhere else or not. When you have strife, envy, or an itch between you and your brother and sister in Christ, it keeps the enemy on your front porch or in your house. Listen, I'm not kidding around. When you have an ought against your brother and sister and you don't make it right, it keeps the devil at your front door. When you make things right and you are clear between that person, those persons, and God, it keeps Satan at bay. He cannot interfere because we have to be wise against his schemes and against his devices. Listen, there is some of the simplest things that Satan comes to cause you to be upset, cause you to be ticked, cause you to have something against your brother and sister, and it hampers the Spirit of God moving in the service. It hampers the Spirit of God. You praying and you seeking God. The Bible plainly says that if a man has an ought against his wife, that his sins won't be forgiven. I probably didn't say that exactly right, but y'all know what I'm talking about. And basically, our life spiritually must be clear. And when it's clear, Satan won't come around. Right? Do you think that in today's world that people are starting to realize that there are definite, invisible, spiritual forces that battle against humanity? I believe so as well. And these forces are at work in several avenues in our modern life. And we cannot allow those things to take place in the church. We cannot allow them to take place in our homes. We can't allow them to take place in our business. And though there's sometimes that is absolutely horrific, the things we have to deal with in our world that we're living in, but we must be wise, and that we might outwit the schemes of Satan. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness. Reiterating that. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's so sad to say, but the less the church is taught about demon powers, the more the devil takes control of our society and even in our church. A lot of our world today is under the control of demon forces. I'm going to look at that just a little bit. Let's look at some areas of modern life where we can recognize. Look at your neighbor and say, we need to learn to recognize the demon powers that are at work. They're not always so apparent, but we have to discern those spirits. The first thing that I want to look at, the enemy and the demon powers are working in our world today, is in the world of apostasy or religion. I could really get down to the nitty gritty on some of this, but let's just see where we go. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It don't have to be blatant sin for Satan to get his 2 cents in. Did you hear me? It does not have to be blatant sin to send you to hell. Well, that changed the fact of the matter, didn't it? It doesn't have to be a blatant sin for Satan to bring his evilness into it, nor does it have to be a blatant sin to send you to hell. Well, what are you talking about, preacher? Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a red hot iron. I seen a message the other day that made more sense to me than anything else. That this minister that I know that's already dead and gone now, he read the book, Your Best Life Now. In that book, not one time did it mention the cross of Jesus Christ. There was not one mention. And in our society, in our world today, the cross has been minimized to a place that is of no effect. But I want to ask you a very serious question. Without the cross, can you really have your best life? If it wasn't for the cross, we'd be in bad shape. In bad shape. A seducing spirit, a lying spirit, a deceiving spirit. Doctrines of devils means exactly what it says. Satan has always pushed his doctrine. Some examples are when he told Eve that she would not die if she simply disobeyed God. And when he asked Jesus to become selfish and make bread for himself and ask him to worship him. Understand that all cults, groups who add their doctrine to the Bible, such as Christian Science, Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, etc., are a part of this apostasy age. So now, Brother Mike, you better hold on. Actually, I'm going to turn loose. We are living in an apostasy age that is absolutely confusing the younger generation, and they're taking the high road of whatever's easy. Whatever appeases the flesh. If I can have my best life now and not have to change the way I live, it ain't the best life. Y'all are awful quiet. I'm on your side, really I am. There is a vast movement in our society of Satanism, witchcraft, and other forms of devil worship, along with the spirit of lawlessness. You can be assured that all doctrines of the devil will take whoever believes in them to hell with him. Do you by any chance think what we're seeing today in these areas is a part of prophecy that's being fulfilled? And like you said earlier, sometimes it's the simplest things. Anybody ever had a burr in your saddle? Figuratively speaking. I was riding a big white horse once. That when I took him out of the corral, he was just trotting across the field, just as pretty as you please. Him and I was getting along so good till we got about out there in the middle of the field, all by herself, and he decided to do a hypo silver. I don't know if he had a burr in his saddle or what, but I guarantee you for 2 days I couldn't walk because I hung on to him while he was standing straight up, and he did not get me off until I took him to the barn and let him off. I don't know what his problem was, but nevertheless.
Are you saying that Saul had a heart of his own?
Who?
Saul. When they called for David to come and play the harp, strong and down.
And that burr was an evil spirit that had come upon him, but yes. Yeah. And with that, again, I don't, if I can explain this, Saul definitely had an evil spirit that come upon him. Sometimes Satan just puts little things in our life that rubs us the wrong way, that gets us out of tune with each other and with God, that causes our prayers to be hindered, and it causes our life to be in shambles. That's why we got to be tentative to the Spirit of God and walk in the Spirit. So we see that, and if you've got a question, raise your hands or holler, just write it down. But we see that we can see the demon powers and recognize them. The word recognize is what we've got to do. We recognize in the world of apostasy. We recognize them in the world of business. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15. And God knows we have to work. God understands that. He says if a man doesn't work, he doesn't deserve to eat. But he understands that. But we must understand the concept of that and not allow the world to replace our moral, religious convictions. And how many knows our convictions have about been washed out? 1 John chapter 2, verses 15. Love not the world, nor the things in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. That's the first three things that Satan brought to Eve, was the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. That's the first thing, and he still uses that in most aspects. Understanding that the lust and the greed of money and fortune and fame can lead a person down a path that will destroy their lives to the core. It's not the money. It's the love of. It can cause them to abuse their family. It leads them to cheat and lie. It can be persuaded to sell their reputation along with their bodies and their souls. And if you look at every situation, almost every evil in this world can be traced to the love of money. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, and he said unto them, take heed, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not of abundance of the things which he possesses. Recognizing the enemy in the religious world and in the business world. Number three, I suspect to get a lot of comments on it, that we understand evil, darkness in the political world, in the government world in which we are living in. It's not hard to see how demon powers are working overtime in our government today. Can you imagine if I taught this a year ago? You imagine if I taught it 2 years ago, where we are right now? It's hard not to see what's happening. But we've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Let me repeat that. I mean, things are so apparent. Ray Charles wouldn't have any problem seeing this. Okay? But we've got to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. It's not hard to see the demon powers that are working overtime in our government today. Our political world has been taken over through scandal and through corruption. And it is so blatant now. They used to try to cover it up, but it's not even being tried to be covered up now. And can I tell you, that's exactly where Satan's at. His lies and his deceptions are so much permeated in our world today, he's not even trying to cover it up no more. Y'all agree with me? Homosexuality, abortion, not even trying to cover it up no more. Among all the other things and all the filth and the pornography and all the seduction in our world today from every aspect, and I'll get into more of that a little bit later, that we've got to guard against in every aspect of our life. But it is so blatant today, even a blind man can see what's going on. You agree with me? I mean, really, that's where we are today. And the Bible tells us that in the last days, things are going to get worse and worse. I don't know if you've stopped and thought about it, but the reason the Lord destroyed the earth for the first time is because men's hearts was on evil continually. He said, I'm not putting up with this no more. And there was just one family that was left. And he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the coming of the Son of Man. Where are we at? Their hearts and their minds is on evil continually. I mean, used to, people would wait till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning when everybody was in bed and they'd steal stuff. Now they'll steal it in mid-daylight and dare you to come after them. I mean, sin has so permeated our world in every aspect of it. And it's no... I'll get back. It's like people are adjusting to it and don't care. Yes.
Acceptance has become a really big thing. Would you call that a spirit?
I don't know if acceptance is a spirit, but that spirit has become so strong that it has demanded acceptance. That makes sense? It has demanded acceptance. It's actually, even though we are right in that time frame to where it's so permeated our society, our world, you know, just like you said, 8 farms, marijuana farms around you guys, don't pray that God burns it. Just, you know, thought I'd throw that out there. You pray God bulldoze it over, but you might not want to pray that he burns their barley fields. Look at your neighbor and say, lighten up. Okay. I was getting to a point, I done forgot what it was. I don't think the acceptance, because we have a choice to accept or reject, but the dominance of that spirit of homosexuality, if you don't accept me, you're going to, you know, hate speech. Yeah. You know, I'm probably in serious trouble as time goes on. But the person has a soul that needs to be saved. But the sin is a spirit that God hates. It's an abomination. Murdering kids, if you don't accept it, you're just an old fuddy-duddy. But God speaks of shedding innocent blood, and it will be punished. It will be punished. But this is actually not new. All through the Bible, you can find those that, Moses experienced that a spirit when the children of Israel got tired of waiting on him and they wanted to serve a God. So there's a spirit that overtook them. Daniel chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. I'll leave that alone. And then also in Matthew chapter 2 shows us that the demonic powers of Satan worked through Herod to kill all the babies of Bethlehem. The strong spirit over Persia. And you can disagree if you want with me if you want to. That's okay. We don't have to. We can disagree and move on. But I believe that the prince of Persia was a person, an individual, that was permeated with the spirit of God that fought with Michael. Because Daniel fasted and prayed 21 days and he could not break through. And God was so conscientious of what Daniel was going through, that he sent Michael the archangel to take care of the prince of Persia. Let me tell you, in all of this mess that we're dealing with, and no matter where you're at, you do your part, and if God has to, and you need that much help, He will send Michael to defend you and to come to your rescue. He said He's no respecter of person. If He did it for Daniel, He'd do it for you. Right? Don't fear. There's more for you than there is against you. When Elijah's servant went out and looked across the valley, he said, "My Lord, my God, servant, or Elijah, come here. There's so many more. There's no way that we can defeat this." And he said, "God, open his eyes so he can see." That's what we need. We need a spiritual awakening and an eye opening to realize that there's more for you than there is against you. It doesn't matter if they pack the courts, if they pack one side of Congress and the Senate with a certain party, it doesn't matter. God's still in control. He's still in control. And He will rescue you. He will sustain you. He will keep you. Michael was summoned and he prevailed. Perhaps at this example to us that our fight for our democracy will be fought in heavenly realms. Hello? The fight for our democracy and our freedom will be fought in heavenly realms. The fight for our democracy and freedom will be fought in heavenly realms. I do appreciate Patrick Henry's statement. Give me liberty or give me death. I'm not going to. It kind of reminds me of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm not going to bend. I'm not going to bow. I ain't going to burn. We're going to stand true. We're going to stand strong. Because we are superior over the devil through Jesus Christ. We cannot give up. We cannot give in. Our God will send the proper amounts of reinforcement to make you an overcomer. Number four, we see our society in a world of crime, and we see the enemy doing everything he can to bring his darkness and his evil on every aspect. Isaiah chapter 59 verses 1 through 7. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear." Aren't you glad for that verse of scripture? You need to write that down. Isaiah 59 and 1. "But he said to the people of Israel, 'But your iniquities have separated you and your God, and your sins have hid your face from my face from you, his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongues have murmured pervertness. None calleth for justice.'" Where are we at today? "Nor pleadeth for the truth." You think Isaiah got to look down to 2020 when he wrote verse number 4? Aaron, you still got that package of firecrackers? Do you think Isaiah got to look down in 2020 when he wrote verse 4? "None calls for justice. They look the other way. None pleads for the truth. They trust in vanity. They speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs." I had to look that up. In one sense of the form, what Isaiah is talking about here, they hatch snake eggs. Okay? But it was a mythological creature that had like a snake's body and a dragon's, or had a snake's tail and a dragon's body. Okay? But he was saying this is evil. And they're hatching snake eggs, cockatrice eggs. Did I say that right, Brother Ed? that they was hatching those eggs. So, and not only are they hatching serpents' eggs, and none of us like snakes, and they weave the spider's web. He that eateth their eggs dieth, and they which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall be become garment, shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works and are works of iniquity, and the acts of violence are in their hand. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. It almost makes you feel like you're reading the headlines of the local paper, doesn't it? These things are establishing themselves in the world. It has escalated to the point of such heinous crimes that no one is safe or exempt. Matthew 24 and 12 says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. How cold is our world in which we're living in? See, this last Sunday when I preached on running to the altar or running for your life, we are in the most prestigious time and the most urgent time to reach out to lost souls, to minister to them, and let people know that there's a hope. There's a lot of people who feel like they have no hope. There's nothing left for anybody to do, but I'm here to tell you, you've got the hope. The Bible tells us to be quick and be ready to always give an answer for the hope that is inside of us. I don't know if you really got a grasp of it or not, but we have a hope. They can kill this body, they can put it to a stake and light a fire around it, but they cannot take our spirit man from us. It belongs to God. It belongs to God. And even though the iniquity shall abound and the love of many will wax cold, we are told that the Lord gives us full authority over the devil. In Mark 16:17, Jesus said, in my name shall you cast out devils. A Christian has the power to bind the strong man and set the victim free. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. The world of occultism. For years, we in America have sent missionaries to foreign countries to deliver those who have demon possession. Today, heathen religions have invaded our country, spreading all types of false religions and demon worship. Christians must be aware and careful of what they allow their children and themselves to be a part of and what they allow in their homes, whether it's through TV, internet, games, etc. Is that too hard? More than ever before, it is critical, moms and dads, that you know what your kids are watching on TV, what they're watching on their phones, what they're watching on the internet, what they're allowing. I'm telling you, there are spirits out there that's stronger than your kids are. And if you're not aware and take control of it, you'll regret it, because it will overwhelm your family and your child and your life. It's absolutely imperative that you are conscious about everything that comes into your home. Everything. There was a magazine that was published. It's called Eternity Magazine. It's a Christian publication that was published between 1950 and 1988. In one of their publications, are you listening to me? 1950 through 1988, in one of their publications, it stated that somewhere during that time that in Philadelphia, there was 2,000 witches that had taken occupancy in that town. That ought to make you you shudder. That was back then. Now, they don't have to worry about them lives, their lives. They can proclaim their satanic rituals, and nobody seems to care. But let me tell you, even the more vulnerable is what I mentioned. It's what comes through the airwaves into your house and on your phone. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 12 says, "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of those nations." Do you understand why God told the children of Israel to get rid of everything when they would come into Canaan? Do you really understand why? Yes or no? Because of the satanic influence. If you don't get rid of it, it will get a hold of you. You have to get rid of the satanic influence. Oh, God was such a terrible God when he told them to kill everybody and everything. It wasn't because of who they were, it's because of the influence that they had that had a hold of them, and they had to get rid of that influence, and they didn't in many times and situations, and it did get a hold of them. They was sacrificing their children to Moloch. The heathens was, and because Israel didn't take care of things like God told them to, they begin to sacrifice their children to Moloch. And did you know that in our nation, we have shrines of Moloch setting up in different areas of our country today doing the same thing? And if I might add, I'm looking straight at the camera, every abortion clinic has the spirit of Moloch attached to it. We are living in a society to where we're not ashamed of sin no more. We can stare sin in the face and it doesn't even bother us anymore. We've gotten used to it. We used to sing a song, "Getting Used to the Dark." It's here. Where people blatantly, and they don't even blush. They don't even blush anymore. I've got to hurry. I'll try to finish up here in just a moment, okay? There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or observers of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a non-commancer, which is nothing more. I probably didn't say that right. But nothing more than an individual that communicates with dead people. For all that do these things are an abomination unto God. That means he hates it. I don't care how you spell abomination, God hates it. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Beware. Beware the unbiblical concept of karma and reincarnation are almost universally accepted by the New Age movement. Karma in Hinduism and Buddhism is the sum of a person's actions in these and previous states of existence. Viewed as deciding their fate or their future existence. People in parts of our world are starving to death, and cows running around everywhere because they're their grandma or grandpa. Now, we think that's kind of stupid and funny and crazy, right? Not for them. It's serious stuff. It's because they have been perverted in their minds of those things, and their kids are dying. Can I tell you? I'm going to get down where you live now. Is that all right? Can I tell you that Ouija boards, magic eight balls, movies like Jumanjia or whatever it's called, J-U-M-A-N-J-I, how do you pronounce that? Jumanji. And Harry Potter movies and books. Please, please hear me. I love you, but I'm telling you, if you let your kids have Harry Potter books in your home, let alone read them, you need to burn them. Ouija board, Magic 8, Jumanji, Harry Potter, any of those movies that do with and all that kind of stuff, and books that portray magical powers and spirits should be avoided, destroyed, burnt, not allow them to enter into your home, into your mind, into your children. Don't give it your time. Will you give me 5 more minutes? Let me try to finish. We are living in a world where evil is so predominant, and yes, even in the world of diseases, because no longer is a lot of diseases cultured in the dirt somewhere or cultured in the laboratory for the love of money. Boy, that was strong, wasn't it? But that's the truth. In our modern times, we have more hospitals, more mental institutions, more medicine than ever before, yet our world is more sick and diseased than man has ever seen. Satan is an inhumane, merciless enemy whose goal is destruction of all of God's creatures. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 tells us, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You got the power in the name of Jesus. Don't be afraid of him. Number 7, I'm going to quit here, I think. The enemy has come to infiltrate our very moral fibers of our world. We kind of talked about this in several areas. Or should I say, our world's morals, or the lack of them, is very obvious of the increasement of demonic powers and Satan activities as they cause the degeneration and bring our world into moral decay. Families and marriages are falling apart. Hatred and lawlessness is out of control. And it seems men and women alike are living more and more like animals than they are human. That'd have been a real good place to say amen right there. Because you know I'm telling you the truth. They ravage our street. They hate our police officers. Y'all know all that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1. Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. So I need to explain that. Okay, you ready for this? I really am going to close here in the next 2 minutes. Without natural affection. I don't need to explain that, do I? Do it. Truce breakers. Brother Aaron mentioned this morning when a handshake meant something. When your word meant something. Y'all remember when that took place? False accusers. What have we just went through the last 4 years? That was notably nothing but lies. Uncontent, fierce, despisers of those that do good. Reminds you of anything? A president that in 4 years done more for our country than all the other presidents together, and for the church and for Israel, and yet they despised him. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. Church, do not let it be said that we only have a form, but let's possess the power of Pentecost and the Holy Ghost in these last days. Do not deny the power of God, but lift the banner of holiness high. For of this sort are they that creep into houses and laid captive silly women laden with sin, laid away with divers lust. And we see it in our world today. We are living in a lust-filled world. Verse 7, ever learning, never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Have you ever seen such knowledge that people have today? I think I told you some time ago, this new G5 that they're coming up with can know a car that has the G5 capability, can know what the car next to it's going to do before it does it. We're living in that world. But you know what all this says? Told you I was closing, didn't I? You know what all this is telling us? All of the demon spirits and powers and all this stuff that's happened today is telling us, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.